Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today's Friday, March 8, 2024. Okay, it's 11:12 in the morning Eastern Time. Markets are up, had a mixed labor report, but the markets generally like. So we'll take a look at that. Got the Academy Awards coming up Sunday night. Talk about the, now today, less financial impact than we used to have back in the days before streaming. We'll talk about that. Hearing some rumors out there that Taylor Swift might be offered the halftime show at next year's Super Bowl, why that may or may not happen. Rivian, the electric SUV and truck manufacturer, coming out with a lower priced SUV. So we've got that news. Got a few other things to talk about. And also today we're going to continue on with mutual fund screeners. Okay, right now the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.15%. S&P 500 also up 0.15%, NASDAQ Composite up 0.30%. Yeah, markets are still continuing to have a good year as they did last year. Got some year-to-date numbers here. Let's take a look. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, remember, is just 30 stocks, but year-to-date that is up 3.11%. Okay, we tend to look, though, more at the broad-based indices as the plural, actually. So we tend to look more at the S&P 500, Standard & Poor's 500, as well as the NASDAQ Composite. Now, the Standard & Poor's 500, it's only 500 stocks, 501 technically, of the 6,100 stocks that trade on either the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, 2,800 there, or the electronic trading system, 3,300. So it's only 500 of the 501, say, of the 6,100 stocks. But these companies are so big, they represent 70% of the total value of the U.S. stock market. So that's why we tend to look at this, consider what's called a broad-based index. Okay, so year-to-date, it is up 8.30%. So that's not an annualized rate. That's what it's actually up. So doing really well there. And then the NASDAQ Composite, so all the stocks that make up NASDAQ year-to-date, that tends to be up more than the other two, but it's more volatile. Year-to-date up, actually 8.65%. So yeah, markets are continuing to do well. Okay, we had this big labor report come out today. Basically, what it said is that as far as the number of jobs created for the month of February, 275,000 new jobs. The consensus estimate was 198,000 jobs. However, the unemployment rate actually went up. Was expected to be 3.7%, which is relatively low, actually, historically. Came in up 3.9%. So how did the unemployment rate go up if jobs are being created? Well, it's a combination of things. The thing about the unemployment rate, and I've talked about it on previous sessions, what is the unemployment rate? Or what is the definition of being unemployed? It's actually not being out of work. It's being out of work and actively looking for a job. See, if somebody wins the lottery and decides they don't want to work anymore, well, they're no longer considered unemployed. They are considered retired. Now, what we tend to see is when economies come out of recessions, we often see jobs being created as the unemployment rate goes up. That is due to the concept of the discouraged worker. Somebody's out of work, there are no jobs out there that they can see, and they quit looking, and so they become discouraged. They no longer count as unemployed. But then what happens as the economy begins to revive and companies are hiring again, they dust off their resume, start looking again, and they now rejoin the ranks of the unemployed. But that's not the scenario we're seeing today. We're not actually coming out of a recession. The economy's been doing well for a while. I think what's happening, well, part of it's just demographics. Each month, as more and more people turn 18 or go graduate school, which is not as big this time of year, obviously, but maybe they graduated college back in December. took a month or two off. Now they're looking for jobs. That could affect the unemployment rate. But I think a bigger factor, a few months ago, we had a lot of big layoffs in the financial industry as well as the technology industry. And a lot of these workers got multi-month packages where they were kept on their company's payroll for 2, 3, 4 months to give them a chance to find a new job, or they just received cash payouts. And I think what's happened, it's a lot of those workers are starting now to look again, and that might be pushing the unemployment rate up. But the key with these labor reports, they're subject to a lot of revision also. So remember that. I just saw a number that when you add up the total number of jobs initially reported as being created for the months of December and January, that's just been dropped by 178,000, so with the revision. So anyway, but overall, a fairly good report. Okay, we got the Academy Awards coming up Sunday night. The anticipation is that Oppenheimer will be the big winner. It's nominated for 13 Academy Awards. The most Academy Awards a movie has ever won is 11. That's Ben-Hur, 1959, and the third Lord of the Rings movie, Return of the King, both won 11 Academy Awards. So Oppenheimer could tie or break that record. The consensus, though, is that Oppenheimer will probably win 8 to 10 Academy Awards. Where that comes from, there's other award shows that precede the Academy Awards. You've got the, multiple awards. You got the SAG Awards. You got other awards that are out there ahead of time. Golden Globes would be the big one, probably. And it's a lot of the same voters. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Barbie's anticipated to win 2 or 3 Academy Awards also, so that'd be a big win for Barbie. And even Godzilla Minus One is nominated for an Academy Award, Best Visual Effects. That's the first Godzilla movie to ever get nominated for an Academy Award in its 70-year history. So we got that. You know, back in the day, though, on previous sessions, I mentioned that I had a small part in the funding of several movies that won Academy Awards. We used to see a big financial, you know, push from being nominated or winning a lot of Academy Awards. If the movie was already out for home rental, you know, VHS tapes, DVDs back in the day, you saw a big increase in the rental revenue coming in. Or if the movie had just been released a few months earlier and was not yet out on home video, we'd re-release it in the theaters. So a big push there. But today, you know, these movies that have been nominated for the most part are all already out on streaming. And so I don't think you'll see as much of an impact. You may see a longer term impact, you know, the directors, producers and so forth can get, you know, better funding, bigger budgets because of their past success. But I don't think you'll see as much of a financial impact since the movie's already out on streaming. Okay, so we had that news. Let's see what else. Yeah, Taylor Swift. I saw an internet rumor that she's been offered the halftime show at next year's Super Bowl, and her representatives asked for $1 billion. I know that number's ridiculous right off the bat. Actually, a lot of these halftime performers at the Super Bowl do it for free, and they even pay for everything themselves, some of them. They just want the publicity. But yeah, the question is, why hasn't Taylor Swift performed at a previous Super Bowl? It seems like she'd be an obvious choice. She's well-known, very popular. Why not have her at the Super Bowl? The main reason has been actually from a business standpoint. Her primary sponsor for her tours, her last few tours, has been Coca-Cola. And until recently, the Super Bowl halftime show was sponsored by Pepsi, the big rival. So that's the main reason. However, the Super Bowl halftime show is now sponsored by Apple. And my understanding is Taylor Swift's contracts have been reworked that she can now perform at the Super Bowl halftime show. Whether she will at the next one or not, it's hard to say. She's got that big tour going on right now, the Eras Tour. It doesn't end until the end of December. That may not give her enough time to get ready for a halftime show. So I think she'll definitely perform a future Super Bowl halftime show. Whether it'll be next year's or not, we'll see. But the Super Bowl had record ratings this year, record high ratings, and part of it's a lot of Taylor Swift fans were tuning in. So can only imagine what the numbers would be if they start tuning in and she's actually going to perform. So we'll see. She's also re-recording some of her early albums. She got into a dispute with her former manager, Scooter Braun, And by re-recording, she can avoid paying him various royalties, mechanical royalties, and so forth. Anyway, from performance royalties, mechanical royalties, all kinds of stuff out there. So, that's another issue. She may not have time to finish re-recording those albums, may not want to perform yet until that is done. So, we'll have to see there. Okay, Rivian. Rivian is the electric vehicle maker, partly owned by Ford Motor Company, as well as others. They've got basically two vehicles. They've got an SUV called an R1T it starts at $70,000, and they have a pickup truck, R1S, that starts at $75,000. They announced today that they are bringing out in early 2026 an SUV named R2, Rivian 2, I guess. They said will start at around $45,000. So, that would bring the price down closer to what people might pay for vehicles anyway. So let's see what Rivian stock is doing right now. All right, give me a second here. It's had its ups and downs, I know that. Let's see, Rivian. Yeah, up 1.3%, so market's not reacting that much. It's a low-priced stock, though, $12.68. Trading symbol RIVN for Rivian, Ralph, Ida, Victor, Nancy. I'll give you an idea. When the company came out publicly started trading December 2021, it was $103 a share, so sales that definitely did not take off as what was anticipated. And also, they've had some production issues and so forth. So there have been a lot of issues here, but could be a long-term play. So something to look at. Okay, so we got that news. Let's see. Yeah, and the other thing I want to talk about today was mutual fund screeners. Okay, so mutual funds is just when your money's pooled together with a large number of other investors and it invests in a group of stocks, bonds, combination of both, or other investments. You know, when I started in this business in 1975, there were around 650 mutual funds out there. And with some effort, you can learn them all, which I did. Today, I think there's around 7,500 mutual funds. How do you go through 7,500 mutual funds? Well, the key today is you got all the technology called mutual fund screeners, like screen door screeners. And they can go through it based on any criteria most you want to put in, you know, best year-to-date return, best average return over the last 3 years, lowest expense by industry, asset size, whatever. Now, I've tended to use the Yahoo mutual fund screener for years and years, and it's extremely powerful. And I will be covering that in detail in upcoming sessions. It has this ridiculous number of parameters you can put in, which is, you know, one of its pluses. One of its minuses is exactly that. Like I said last time, it has a ridiculous number of parameters that you can put in. And it can become overwhelming just by having too many choices. So today I'm going to start with a real simple one, MarketWatch. So it only has three parameters. So if you, you know, to find it, use, you know, a search engine, Google or whatever you might want to use, and type in MarketWatch mutual fund screener. MarketWatch is one word, by the way. So MarketWatch mutual fund screener. All right, I'm doing it right now. And it comes right up. Just click on it. There it is. All right, it has just three parameters. One is fund type. And by the way, the fund types, I think I'll cover each of those in the next session, what they are, but they are growth, value, core, mixed, global, sector, S&P 500, fixed income, which is bonds, government debt. Okay, it's one parameter. Next is net assets. How big is it? And then return. All right, so what I'm going to do today, I'm going to use 3 years, 5 years. I'll use 5-year return. Okay, so basically by clicking that, it tells me which mutual funds have had the best annualized return for, you know, yearly return for each of the last 5 years. And I'll look at the top three here because I'm going to basically today just talk about some of the pitfalls about just using best return. Okay. So, by the way, the mutual fund screener on MarketWatch, it includes both mutual funds and what are called closed-end investment trust. What closed-end investment trusts are, these are mutual funds that trade on the stock market, like stocks, mostly NASDAQ, some New York Stock Exchange also, though. You can buy and sell them in the middle of a trading day versus mutual funds that price just once a day at the end of the day. And the thing with closed-end investment trusts, the advantage, you can trade in and out the middle of the day. Disadvantage, though, is that mutual funds basically price on the value of their assets, where closed-end investment trusts can trade higher than their underlying assets in value in up markets or below its underlying assets in down markets. I'll talk more about that another day, but an easy way to tell if it's a mutual fund or not, mutual funds have five-letter symbols that end in the letter X, like X-ray. All right. So number one on this list is called the ProShares U.S. Semiconductor Fund. It is a closed-end investment trust, symbol USD, Uncle Sam David. It has been averaging 63.85% return per year for each of the last 5 years. In other words, almost 64% a year for the last 5 years. Okay, so that's like great. One thing to remember, though, that is past history. But here's the thing, you got to be careful here. It's their volatility. So this isn't just talking about just pure returns. You got to look at the volatility. So give you an idea with this thing. All right, go back 5 years. That would be 2019. And the thing was sitting at around $11.96 a share. Then went up by November 2021, $54 a share. Then back down to $15 by October 2022. Then it went up to $48 by July 2023, back to $34 by October 1st, 2023. And then lately, it's just been skyrocketing up to $104.25. So, you know, volatile. It's volatile. So we have to look at that. All right, second on our list, I'll just do the top three today. We have the MS Microsectors, actually. Microsectors FANG Plus Index 3X Leveraged Fund. What the heck does that mean? FANG, F-A-N-G, those are four big technology companies, Facebook, Apple, NVIDIA. They do a lot of artificial intelligence stuff, and Google. All right, it has to be invested in more than just four companies, though. I'll talk about why another day, diversification of mutual funds. But what the Index 3X is, this is what's called a leveraged mutual fund. It's in its name. What they do, they use various leveraging strategies like option contracts and so forth. So the objective, this thing would go up three times more than those four companies on average, and then three times more on the downside. So that's the idea. It purposely is designed to be more volatile. Anyway, but let's take a look at how this thing has been doing. It's been up 55.37% for each of the last 5 years. Its trading symbol is FNGU, Frank, Nancy, George, Uncle. All right, so let's see how they've been doing. Again, I'm guessing very volatile just by its leveraging factor. All right, FNGU. And let's have a look here. Yeah, if I look at the last 5 years, back in 2019, it was sitting around $48 a share. It then shot all the way up to $439 by October 2021, back down to $43 by December 2022. It's all over the place. And today, $322.50. So if you want to look at that, you can go to Yahoo. Just click on Yahoo and click Finance. Type in the symbol FNGU. And you can click on the chart 5 years and get a look at how that volatile that thing is. All right, the third one today is actually an actual mutual fund. It is the Pro Fund Semiconductor Fund. Trading symbol on that, SMPIX, so mutual fund and five letters with X. So Sam, Mary, Paul, Ida, X-ray. It is averaging 52.78% a year over the last 5 years. So let's finish things out today by looking how volatile this thing is. All right. SMPIX, let's see. Here we go. All right. So I'm taking a look at this thing. Yeah, same basic thing. Back in 2019, 5 years ago, $47.48 a share. went up to $162 by November 2021, back down to $61.29 by September 2022, $160 July 2023, $125 October 2023, and at $302.84 a unit right now. So again, very volatile, but there's some potential there. These are high performing funds. So it goes into the basic strategy, you know, investment philosophy or tenet, I guess. Higher potential return, generate a higher risk, higher volatility here. All right, so we're going to wrap things up today. Hope everyone's doing well. Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and I'll talk to you again soon. Take care. See ya.